to you this morning as though I were not here. I don't know the right word. My wife says, why don't you preach at home like you do when you're doing revivals? And I'm setting myself up for failure now. I realize that. But I'm telling you already, it ain't about me. I died over there behind that cross. But when I go and preach revivals, and you know I love to do that, but when I go and preach revivals somewhere about mid-afternoon, I'm going to get by myself and get on my face. And sometimes I'll spend 2 hours in prayer just before I go preach. And that's really hard to do in here. That's a hard thing to do because I get here about 8:30 in the morning and I go to prayer meeting and we listen and we talk and we pray. And then I go back there and if I have time, I get me a cup of coffee. Then I run up to my office and I try to do a little bit in there getting ready for Sunday school. And I go to Sunday school and then I come right down here and I sing and I worship and I enjoy that. And then I have to get up and preach. And so I have to have notes that let me kind of have a clue of what I'm doing because sometimes, like in this week, I leave home at maybe 5:30 in the morning, and I get home at about 9:30 at night. That's just what my life is. I'm not complaining. Don't think for a minute I'm complaining. Y'all pay me by the hour. I don't know if you... No, you don't. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. No, that's what I do, and it's what I love. We visited this week a few times with Ben Lang, and he's a very young man, and we worry about him because he told me, tomorrow will be his 95th funeral this year. This year. So the young man is crushed. My wife and I spent a period of time just praying for Ben Lang and his new wife and their babies. Because my wife asked him, how is your wife with your life? And he said, oh, she understands. But you understand my concern for that? Is it gets old. It gets old. I thank God for my wife because too many times I have not been there because, see, I have this other world and it takes time. And so from the time you type a sermon and send it off so those guys can get notes made, I may not really look at it again. I'm just bemoaning my situation to you before I tell you that this morning I'm just going to preach a sermon that I like. I like this sermon. I like it. That makes it different too, I guess. But I'm going to ask you a question. I want to start with a question this morning. What are you doing in this church today? Why are you even here? I'm guessing you're on vacation from your church today. That's an easy one. Some of you I know you're a family. Some of you are a family here, and I know why you're here. Some of you are here because it's Labor Day weekend, and you're home for the big fall festival. If I said, where's everybody else? They'd say, well, we're gone because it's Labor Day weekend, and we're gone. And I know there's people at the old Threshers and Bill and Marcia. I didn't even mention them, I don't think. But they had to leave early this morning, going to Nevada to be with his family out there. There's always things going on. But there's a reason that you are here, but here isn't really the point. There is really the point. That's what I want to preach this morning, a place called there. We're going to start, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12. And it'll be on the board if you don't have it. Listen to these familiar words. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation and I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had said to him. Father, this morning we're going to talk about a spiritual place. It's not a physical place. It's not a geographic location. It is a heart condition, and it is a place called there. Lord, it's difficult at times because we find ourselves traveling as Abraham did. We're moving. Our lives are fluid and we feel like we're in flux. And so to say that we have a there is not always easy. Father, I believe this morning, this is a revival service. We're going to start revival today. And Lord, I believe there's some people who don't even know why they're here. I believe that there are people sitting in this room who maybe they're here every single week and they still haven't figured it out why they are here. Because you're looking for their there. So Lord, come today. Speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There may not always be clear. God comes to Abraham in a place called Ur of the Chaldees, that is Iraq, modern-day Iraq, and he says to him, get up, leave your father's house, leave your family, and go to a place that I will show you. Can you imagine today God asking you to go somewhere? What do you think your first point's going to be back to God? Where? Go to a place that I will show you. That means leave and I'll tell you after you go. Wow. How many of you are up to that? I said, that's a question kind of demanding an answer. How many of you are okay with God saying go and I'll tell you after you leave where you're going? There's about four or five. Yeah, Marty's going, yeah. It kind of depends. I'd like to know where it is. Wow. Do you understand this morning? He didn't tell Abraham where, but there wasn't many places to go. Now, I believe that they moved up the river, which was logical. They moved up to what is still modern-day edge of Iraq, maybe into Syria. They were following the Euphrates River. And God had to stop him because guess what? He took his daddy and his brothers with him. And God plainly said, leave your father's house because Terah, the father of Abraham, worshiped the moon. He worshiped false gods. And God wanted to draw himself a people out of that. And he said, I'm going to be your God. You are going to be my people. Don't take daddy. He's ingrained in moon worship. Leave him here and you go there. A place called there. Without telling him where it was. And God said, go. And Abraham said, yes. Now here's point number one. Point number one is there may not be clear. But this is the point I want to make to you right here. Your yes has to come first. You got to say yes to God. And not put conditions on God, because here's the second thing. If you write anything down in your Bible, write this down. God will not negotiate on where your there is. He's not going to be open to sitting down and saying, well, what do you think? Where would you like to go? I told somebody this week, I believe that there are times when that happens, because I've seen pastors feeling like God is impressing them to go somewhere. And guess what? A place called there. And they say, God, where? Just show me where. And they come to a fork in the road. You know what Yogi Berra said? If you come to a fork in the road, take it. But that didn't make sense, because that's what Yogi Berra did. He didn't make sense. But if you come to a fork in the road, and I've shared this with pastor friends of mine who have said, man, I got two churches who have invited me to come and pastor their churches. And I'm asking God, would you pray with me for? And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, what did God call you to do? And they say, preach. And I said, well, what do they want you to do at church A? Well, they want me to preach. I said, what do they want you to do at church B? He said, they want me to preach. I said, maybe God's going to say, which one you want to go to? I called you to preach. Wherever you go, preach the word. Be constant in season and out of season. See, I can see that God saying there, you're there is to preach. I don't really care where you do it. I'm saying wherever you are, do it. So you're there may not be real clear to you. The real point of there is you need to figure out what God's purpose for your life is. Well, I heard you, Brother Dave. I heard one slight, soft amen. You're there is to find out God's purpose for your life. Thank you. We're getting there. Because see, everybody in the whole Christian realm is not called to be a full-time pastor, teacher, preacher's wife, missionary. I got to meet a missionary to Israel yesterday. A missionary to Israel yesterday. Man, we were talking. I told him, you know, I'd been in Israel. And I said, we met some Palestinian Christians. But it's illegal. And he said, he told me, I said, it's illegal to proselytize Jews. It is illegal in Israel to tell a Jewish person about Jesus Christ. He said, oh, yeah. He said, if we get caught, they take us to the airport, they open your passport, and they put proselytizer. That's what they put on your passport, proselytizer. And if you ever come back into Israel, they open your passport, look up and go, we will deny you entry into this country because you've come here and tried to tell our people. Wow. But you know what his purpose is? It's to tell people about Jesus. So he's in an underground church in Tel Aviv, the capital of Israel. He works in an underground church doing what Jesus has purposed him to do. When Jesus said, go there, he didn't say where. He said yes and found out that his there was really a great place on the one hand, but a very difficult place on the other hand. Let me ask you this morning, do you know you're there? I mean, I know you're here. This is sort of a confusing sermon. So I know you're here and you know you're here, but do you know where there is? Do you know what your purpose to God is? That's what you need to know today, because you could be doing a lot of stuff and it not be God's purpose for your life, and you're not there yet. And maybe your there isn't clear. Maybe God hasn't revealed it to you because you're not going. Maybe this morning you're sitting here saying, well, if God would show me, if God would lay it out before me, and God is telling you, I want you to go, then I'll show you. See, going is yes. What Abraham did, let me just check and read it. I believe it's verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, without knowing where he was going. Isn't that crazy? Now, he didn't totally obey because he took his family, but he left. And God said, I can work with that. He let him get out of Ur of the Chaldees to at least separate himself. Then he stopped him and he left him right there until his daddy died. He was not going to take Terah into the Canaan land, into the promised land. If you don't know where there is this morning, you're there is where God says there is. And it's not up for discussion or injection on our part. We cannot tell God what we will do. We ask God what he will have us do. Now, it gets only worse from here. Turn over now to 1 Kings. The second point is sometimes there moves. Sometimes we don't even know where there is, and sometimes when we get there moves. And this is horrible. I don't know where I'm reading. I'm just going to start reading. It may not be. Okay, is that verse 1? Okay. Well, I'm reading verse 1, so just hold on till I get right there. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab the Arab, y'all have all heard it. No, this is Ahab the king of Israel. Wow. You can't do stuff like that. People are going, nah, I don't even know who he's talking about. Ahab is the king of Israel, and Elijah said to him, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be even dew or rain for 3 years, or these years is what he says, except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan River. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. There. God says, that's where there is. It says, there. I will feed you there. Wow. Go east to the brook Cherith. That is your there. Wow. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. Look at verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, I went back to verse 1 because it says, I mean, he should have had a clue. It says, as the Lord God lives, it isn't going to rain. There isn't going to be enough dew in the morning to help the crops. We're about to have a drought. And God says, get out of here, buddy, because it's going to be a drought. So he went to the brook Cherith. I was coming home. I was coming home from Des Moines. I was trying to think where I was. I was on Highway 5. And you've seen this before, I'm sure. This red-tailed hawk was, he was kind of like just hovering. And all of a sudden, he says, whoom. And when he came down, all I could see was the tail and about the back third of a mouse heading up into a tree. I said, dude, man, what were those ravens bringing him to eat? I don't know what the bread was, maybe a stalk of grain, but meat. I promise you it was raw. Of course, I don't know, maybe God was cooking it and sending him prime rib. I don't know. But it says they brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And then the brook dried up. Oh, Pastor, I was right where God wanted me, but God let me down. Can you see where he might have said that? Can you see where Elijah might have said, I was where God wanted me. I was where God told me to go. He called it there. And he said if I would go there, that he would feed me in the morning, feed me in the evening, and I would drink from the brook. And now the brook dried up. God didn't keep his end of the bargain. Can you see that? Point number two, sometimes there moves. Sometimes there changes. Sometimes we're here for a period of time. I told you already, our lives are a journey. We live in flux, but sometimes people get kind of stuck. Sometimes people get kind of dry. Sometimes people don't want to move when God says move. I'm trying to think of a polite illustration. There aren't any. Have you ever talked to somebody and they said, boy, I'm really dry in my spirit today. Or in a time of being dry in my spirit. Boy, I went to church on Sunday and I didn't get a thing out of it. Why? We were singing out of that hymnal, or that preacher was reading out of that book, or I was listening to him. Man, I got so thirsty. I got so thirsty, it was so dry in there. Do you realize, can I tell you today that there are churches that are barren of the Word of God? And I'm not being judgmental, I'm telling you, there was probably a time when they were there. But something came and went, and God said, the brook's dried up. You got to go somewhere else. And they said, whoever wrote this hymn, I know, didn't mean this. But have you ever seen them stand up and say, I shall not be moved. Well, bless God, sometimes you ought to move. Sometimes that song is not applicable because they're saying, I shall not be changed. This is the way we've always done it. Famous last seven words of the church. We've never done it that way before. I just had somebody just tell me that story at a business. It was a business. And they asked a question. And they said, well, we've never done it that way before. I said, famous last seven words. We've never done it that way before. And bless God, we're not going to. And if the brook was flowing and the meat and the bread was coming, that's fine. Sing it. I shall not be moved. I'm going to stay by the waters of life, and I'm going to drink from the brook, and I'm going to say, praise God. But if the brook dries up and God sent the brook, God's moving you. God's telling you there is somewhere else. Now, Elijah, in this case, you know, ends up going over to see a widow lady, and that's a whole other sermon. Can't preach that sermon. That's a whole other. That sermon has Ronnie Cloyd as the chief illustration. I'm not going there today. But I got another sermon on that. I preach it when I'm more than 100 miles away. Just kidding. Wow. If you write something in your Bible, write this down. When God moves, you're there. He's going whether you stay or not. When God moves, you're there. He's going whether you stay or not. What does that tell you? You better go where there is. Because if you stay and say, and I just, man alive, I got to be so careful. I got a good friend. He was so excited. He was trying to plan ministry. He was trying to do something that he felt like God laid on his heart. And he said the church was behind him. He felt good about it. And he said one night they took testimonies. And he said this man stood up. And he said it wasn't a testimony at all. This man had heard these rumblings. This man had heard people saying, we're going to do ministry where we've never done ministry before. God is telling us, go there and I will bless it. This man stood up. His testimony was, I remember the day God said, don't ever go there. And we're not going. And he sat down. And he said it deflated the service. Because he had these people who were excited to do something they had never done before. He was excited to do something and lead that church to a place they had never been before. But one man stood up and said, I'm not going there. My friend now lives in another state because he resigned from that church and said, God's leaving whether you do or not. I got to go where God is. Wow. 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 You can sit too long in one place, guys. You can sit and get dry and barren and say things like, well, you know, the preacher, he used to preach such good sermons, but now you notice lately, there's not much meat to it. We used to sing, I used to get so excited, but now the song service comes off a little flat to me. Has it ever entered your mind? Maybe it's you. Has it ever crossed your conscience? Maybe it's you. There moved and you sat and now you're drying up and wondering why. Get up and move. Go where God is leading. Get there. Because there is a place called there. Wow, one more. We're in the book of Exodus. No, we're in Genesis. We're not going to do the Exodus passage. You might have an Exodus passage. We're not going there. Genesis 50. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, and the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. And Joseph said to his brother, I'm dying, but God will surely visit you, listen to this, and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. Wow. They're in Egypt. But Joseph said, this isn't there. This is not our there. Now I know we've been here, and I know it's been good for us, but I'm telling you, this isn't where I want to be. And he made them swear an oath. And he said, when God visits, take my bones up from here and take me back to where my fathers are, because this isn't my there either. And he's dying. He's going out, but he's telling his kids and his grandkids to the third generation, you don't belong here. There's a place called there. It's where it started with my great-grandpa, and it's where he wants you to. Wow. You know the story of Joseph. He was number 11. And the older brothers, they were, well, 10 of them were from different wives of Jacob. And they sort of resented Joseph. He had a little brother named Benjamin. But they resented Joseph. And they you know, it messed with them. And Joseph, of course, wasn't the brightest knife or the brightest star at night or the sharpest knife in the drawer. He was a dreamer, and they called him, "Here comes that dreamer again." But he couldn't just have a dream on his own. He had to tell him about it. He had to tell his brothers about his dream. And so he tells them one day they're out working in the field, and Joseph comes walking out in his coat of many colors that his daddy gave him because he was his daddy's favorite. Wow! That was enough right there. And he says, "Hey, guys, y'all need to take a break and get some water. I'm going to tell y'all about my dream." They all sit down drinking some water, and Joseph says, "I had a dream last night, and in the dream, there were 12 sheaves. They were all stacked up, and one of the sheaves floated up in the air, and the other 11 bowed down to him. I was the one that floated up, and y'all all bowed to me." Oh, they wanted to kill him right there. Would you not? I mean, this is their little stinking daddy's favorite little boy, and they're doing the work. They're out there making the sheaves, and he said, "Hey, take a break while I tell y'all my cool dream." So then they go and watch the herds, and they go up to where they should have went to Dothan. He goes to Dothan, Dothan, Alabama. You can look it up on a map. You've probably been there. There's a statue of Joseph right in the middle of town, Dothan, Alabama. That's a long way from Israel. Those of you that are confused, different Dothan. Don't worry about that. I'm just messing with him. See the old Miss? No, I can't. We can't do that. Football started yesterday. Praise God. Praise God. Jacob sends Joseph and says, "Go check on your brothers and come back and tell me if they're where they're supposed to be." Jacob was setting Joseph up bad because Joseph, the little tattletale, was they weren't there. And he found them somewhere else, and they were going to kill him, literally kill him. And I can't remember. I think it might have been Reuben. He said, "Let's don't kill him. Let's just put him in this well, and you know, we'll do something." And there was a Midianite camel train going down to Egypt. And they said, "Shoot, let's sell him. Why kill him? Let's sell him and get some money." So they agreed to that. And he got sold into slavery in Egypt. Joseph did. See, Egypt was his there. Now, this is hard because this is years and years and years go by. And Joseph is in Egypt, and God keeps blessing him and raising him up until he's like the vice president of Egypt. And his brothers, another famine comes, and his brothers come to Egypt because they hear that Egypt's got tons of food because Joseph did it. Well, Joseph now looks like an Egyptian. He's cut his hair and painted his eyes, and he looks like an Egyptian, so they don't recognize him, but he knows them instantly. And you know the story. They get food. They didn't bring Benjamin because Jacob, this is his one favorite wife, Rachel. And he says, "What are you going to do? Let me lose my other son by my favorite wife?" "No, you've already lost Joseph for me. You're not taking Benjamin down there." And so Joseph says, "So who are you? Who are you people from? Where are you from?" They said, "Well, we live in Canaan, and we're the sons of Jacob, and our father is old, and he sent us down here to buy grain." He says, "We'll give them grain," and then he hides their money in the sack. You know, it's a great story. Then he sends the army out, and they catch him. They say, "One of you took money. You took your money. It wasn't good enough that we let you live. You took the money." They said, "No, we wouldn't." Boy, whoosh, there was the money. He says, "Leave him here with me." And then they said, "Bring your dad. He's the only one that can come get him." All that, man, all that story, so cool. God had Joseph right where he wanted him to save the family. God did all that on purpose, save the family. But then Joseph said, "This isn't a good place. These people make us slaves. When I die, get me out of here. Send me back to a place called there." You know, what makes you a slave today? Most of us, men especially, and some ladies, but men especially, you're a slave to your job. And rightly so, man. We have to make a living. We have to provide. We have to work. I got all that stuff. What are you a slave to? Does our there sometimes drift slowly until we say, "You know what? I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. This started out so right, but man, I've let it get all mixed up." Point number three is sometimes there means going back to another place. Joseph said to his family, God is going to visit you here in Egypt, and he's going to take you to a place where this all started with Abraham. And if you remember, this whole sermon started with a guy named Abraham. God will once in a while revisit us where we are and say, man, you drifted. You're not where you were. I want you to go back. Many of us in our tradition, we have altars. And altars are just a good place to pray. They don't mean anything other than it's a good place to pray. But I got to believe this morning in this place, there are some people that if you would be honest with yourself this morning, you would say, you know, man, I've drifted. I admit that. I've let the cares of the world choke me down. I've been doing things that I felt like I had to do it. But over time, it's pulled me away from my there. But I remember how good it feels to be so right with God that everything He said, I understood it. I was right there going, yes, yes, yes. I remember that, but I'm not there now. So here's my question this morning. Here's my question. Are you where you need to be? Are you where you need to be? Are you where God wants you to be? Are you where God needs you to be? Because, see, He put Joseph in Egypt to save Israel. But then He said, you can't stay here. Now, it was a long time because a Pharaoh came along who knew not Joseph and enslaved Israel, enslaved them. There had to go. They had to get out of there. Friends, if you're enslaved this morning, you can sit and you can continue to dry up at the brook Cherith and say, I remember God told me to come here. Or you can say, you know what? He's moving me. He's moving me, and maybe He's moving me back to a place. Some of you have a place, if not in this room, in another room. Where's Riley at? Riley, come play something on the piano for me, girl. There she comes. She's coming. We're not going to take a lot of time. I know it's Labor Day weekend. You don't have to explain that to me. I'll leave that out. I was about to put that back under there, but I think I'll leave it out. I told Riley this morning, say, her and Tish are going to go help me do a revival here in a few weeks. She's going to play the piano, and her mama's going to sing. Well, she's probably going to sing some too. But I said, this is going to be great practice because this is what I'm going to do every night. Riley, come help me with the piano every night. And I'm going to say something like this. If you're in this room today and you don't have a good answer for, are you there? Are you there right now? What moved, you or God? God may be the one who moved, but you didn't go with Him. And maybe right now you're sitting here and you know if you'd be honest with yourself today, if you would be honest with yourself today, you'd say, I'm sitting by a brook that is dried up. And I remember when it was good. But man, the ravens hadn't been here in days. And I haven't had a drink in so long. I'm so thirsty. I'm so thirsty for a sip of God's fresh anointing in my life. And maybe you say, you know, I need to go back. I remember when I prayed. I remember it was right over there. Or maybe it was right down here. Maybe you fell right there. You remember that? You remember where there was, and it was there. You knew without a shadow of a doubt. You knew where your there was. Maybe you need to go back there even today. Stand with me. We're just going to help Riley practice. Now, this is what we'll do here in a few weeks. I'm going to say stand together, and let me ask you, are you there? Are you where God needs you to be because He has...